those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
Blogulator.com.
This is Blogulator Radio.
Skewering and fawning over all things television for the Fancy Pants Gangsters Netcast Network. I'm Bridget.
I'm Qualler.
Our opinions are valid. May God bless and keep you away. May your wishes all come true. May you grow it do for others.
All
that I do for you. May you grow up to be righteous. And you do, and may you stay forever young. You guessed it. We're talking about War of the Worlds.
Yes.
Just kidding.
Good reference, though.
Thanks.
Which, the movie or the audio play?
The audio play.
Of course.
Obvious.
Of course.
What's a movie?
I'm not really sure.
Movie? Is that like television but big?
It's like on the screen where you go.
Is it like what I do when I'm watching the Lifetime Network? What I do? Is it like?
it's like a long form. TV show that tells one story.
Shut up.
Yeah, like all in one.
Like one, just like one narrative?
Yeah, one, and it's usually with different characters every time, except for when they're sequels.
So it's like Spooky Spook Spook?
It's like if Spooky Spook Spook were 2 hours long instead of 13 episodes.
Oh, wow.
Spooky,
that'd be
spooky,
horrible.
Spooky, we mean American Horror
American
Story.
American Horror Story. Season 2 premiered.
Translation.
Last week, and boy, was it fine.
It was...
It was fine.
Fine.
But
we're
not here
to talk
about
that.
Oh, Jinx, I love you.
We're actually at the dining room table right
now.
Yes,
we are.
We just sat down to
a family dinner.
A family dinner.
Before which we thanked, not necessarily the Christian Lord, but, you know, we did a spiritual,
right,
non-conforming thing in which we honored the unity
of
humans
and
other living things.
The kind of blessing that comes with being raised in a family where we're allowed to choose the spiritual background and beliefs that we choose.
Because our parents just, like, they just kind of believe that we're, like, these beautiful, like, butterflies.
Right.
And that if you just, like, let us fly.
If you just let us fly.
Then we'll be, like, beautiful.
We'll go to the right flock.
Magical flock.
Not like a flower. I was going a flock of sheep, but not in the Judeo-Christian sense.
Why would a butterfly join a flock of sheep?
I was mixing my metaphors.
You can't do that. But you can in this family.
I can. I can do anything because I am entitled to my opinion.
Right.
Whichever opinion that I choose.
Yeah. we're talking about parenthood.
Yeah.
Should we do this episode as Bonnie Bedelia and...
Bonnie Bedelia and Zeke.
Zeke.
Craig T. Nelson.
Yeah, Craig T. Nelson.
Why do I never remember Bonnie Bedelia's character?
Because it doesn't matter.
Because, she's got things.
Yeah.
Going on.
She's got all sorts of hobbies.
She gives advice.
Uh-huh. She's like this strong, independent woman who has like all kinds of hobbies that she does in her spare time now that she's done like raising her family.
Right. Right.
It sounds like we're not fans of the show.
I know, that's the thing. I always have to explain to people, like, when I'm kind of making fun of Parenthood.
We like it.
But it's actually, like, a very deep, like, love of the show. And, like,
right.
There's absolutely 0% of my body is at all snarky or sarcastic about it.
0% of your body?
My body, my being, my psyche.
Let's call it being.
My 0% of my being is snark.
Right.
I'm 100% snark free in my being.
Cool.
Does that work?
No hams up the butt.
No hams up the butt.
Call back. I didn't really.
You didn't hear that.
We are talking about Parenthood.
We're five episodes
in.
Into the new season.
And yet I can't remember one thing that happened.
Really?
Okay, no, I can remember a baseball game, breast cancer, race, kind of.
kind of, yeah.
Race, kind of.
Yes. It's dealt with in a...
Yeah, a little, I mean, it's been dealt with the most, well... They've kind of dealt with it before, but, you know.
I really liked the way it was dealt with so far this season in the episode that it was, in that it fell along with kind of the theme of this season so far. Well, not necessarily the theme, but the feel of all of the episodes, which are... To me, lower stakes than usual.
Mm-hmm.
Even lower than seasons 1 through 3.
Yeah.
Like, probably the lowest they've ever been.
This season?
Yeah, despite the breast cancer plotline.
Yeah, I mean, I also feel like this has been the lowest stakes ever, even though, like, some...
Well, let me back up.
Okay.
Low stakes in terms of TV low stakes, but... I think it still feels high stakes comparatively, like within, like I could see how the issues that they deal with on the show feel high stakes to the Braverman family.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the sense that they are high stakes plots for the Braverman family, I would say yes. I feel like there's kind of an inherent brushing off of a show like Parenthood when the storylines are things like Jabbar learns how to pray, but I feel like
if you were in a real family, that would be a real thing,
right? I feel like it's kind of diminishing the goodness of the show, like, just because it's not about, like, huge issues the way that a lot of TV shows are, doesn't mean that it makes it any less of a great show. MHO.
Okay.
So, with that said...
I think I like it because it feels like even when really high stakes or ridiculous things happen, they deal with them in a... And it sounds weird to call it realistic, because on the one hand, it's a very unrealistic show in that it feels, like, very schmaltzy. Or, like, really, like,
I would disagree that it feels schmaltzy.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that there's an element to the show that feels like I'm watching Family Ties. But it's a better done, hour-long drama version of Family Ties.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I feel like it's, like, not very realistic. But I do feel like the way people interact with each other and the problems they have and how they deal with the problems and the weight of the problems for those people in the show seem realistic, and I think that's what you're getting at.
Mm-hmm.
So there are shows, like, where it's, like, super high stakes, drama, so TV high stakes. This is TV low stakes, but for the characters on the show, and if those were real-life problems, it'd be pretty high stakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree.
I think that's part of the comforting factor of the show.
Yes.
It's kind of like The Cosby Show.
Yes.
Again, I feel like it's a lot of, like, well-done, like, long-running, like, acclaimed family sitcoms, but it's a family drama version of that.
Yeah. I think it fits into that genre of television in general.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where you would place it, as kind of family dramedy.
P.S.
Yeah.
I would love for Bill Cosby to guest star as, like, Jabbar's long-lost, like, great-uncle.
Holy crap.
Or something.
Yeah. Make it happen.
I'm just saying.
Katims. However you pronounce me.
So, we've got breast cancer.
How do you want to tackle?
I don't know. How should I feel like
should we go character by character? I know in past episodes we've done that.
I feel like any way we do it will be beautiful.
Yeah.
And true.
And organic.
And just really
and like
spiritual.
Come from my personal.
But not
being.
Really like religious. Yeah.
Right.
Like a beautiful wild garden.
Right.
In well, Bonnie Bedelia's backyard.
Beautiful garden. That's.
Let's talk about Bonnie Bedelia first, because okay. She's actually my favorite character.
Yeah.
What has she done?
Last week she comforted Zeke about him going to the VA. Is that right?
She, I think, made him go to the VA.
She made him go to the VA, but then later she was like, he was like laying with her in their sunroom where mm-hmm. there's all kinds of sun and gardens.
God, I love that room.
Shit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she was doing something. She was like stroking his head, I think. Or,
yeah.
And she was like, you know, Zeke, right? You just gotta do what
no,
you believe.
That's
no,
that's a bad.
Am I just making?
Yeah, that don't talk like that.
Okay.
You
don't like the impression, or is it
the impression?
It,
okay.
Yeah. Okay. What did she do before that? Other stuff, I imagine.
I have no idea.
I cannot remember what she's done
this year.
I don't feel like she's done anything yet this season, and yet she's such a wonderful, warming, comforting presence. Like a real mom.
Right.
Because, like, you don't know what your mom does.
Right. How many of you know what your mom's doing right now? Probably none of you.
I know, think because my mom's, like, you know.
Are you like, I'm doing your mom.
What?
I don't know.
No.
Your mom, what?
No. I just.
What were you going
to say? I was
going
to say, I know because, like, I'm not a sexist, so I know what my mom does. But get over that, and, like, let's pretend that you have a mom like Bonnie Bedelia, and she's just there.
Okay.
And she's a strong woman
whose
strength is only ever demonstrated in as much as she loves her family.
True. True dat.
So,
true
dat. But we're not here to analyze, are we?
We're always here to analyze a little bit.
Kinda.
I already analyzed the season as a whole.
What did you say about it?
Some.
This is good. This is good stuff.
Yeah.
This is radio gold. Are we on the radio?
We're, no.
I feel like one of the kids should start a podcast. Who should start? I feel Amber should get involved with a podcast and like
plot.
And it can be like a funny thing for like a whole episode of like Amber is involved in a podcast and no one understands what that means.
Right. Like right? She tells Adam and he's like
semicolon,
what? Sorry, I'm
Zeke
I'm
relives
busy.
His radio days. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or something.
I
like.
Could see that.
Yeah.
Let's save it for our Parenthood fanfic.
Okay. God, I would love to write Parenthood
fanfic. Ship Amber, and who should we ship Amber with?
I want to ship Amber with Luke.
Oh, not, yeah.
What's his name on the show? So our friend Luke from Friday Night Lights.
Let's just call him Luke.
Is now Luke. Guest starring? Is
yes.
he going to come up again?
He's a guest star, for sure. Well, I think it feels like we may already be headed in that direction based on, on how
I hope
they were
so.
Sitting next to each other.
I feel like this has been a lot of in-talking about Parenthood, but I'm going to assume that our fans...
This is...
You're watching it along with us.
We started
doing
all Parenthood all the time episodes at the end of season two. We did three of them for season three that recaps the entire season.
Mm-hmm.
We're back at you.
So we're not recapping is what I'm saying. We're
no.
We're just
chatting.
We're here
to talk about it.
Yeah.
Right.
Chatting about it. And the phone lines are open.
The phone lines are open.
So...
So
yeah.
any second now, you can call in.
Here's a question for you guys at home. Do you like it better when Bonnie Bedelia is kind of in a bad mood and she gives advice, like, begrudgingly because she's really busy, like, sorting her papers?
Mm.
Or, like, organizing things in the garage, in the barn or whatever, the garage thing? Or do you like it better when Bonnie Bedelia is in a kind of good, kind of bad mood and she begrudgingly gives advice while she's trying to, like, cook dinner for everyone? I like it when she's sorting things.
So either way, you're saying that she never gives advice in a way that's not begrudging?
I can't recall a time that she has.
Okay.
Oh, no, there's a third time, I guess. So there's a time where she solicits, like, you're by yourself, and, like, she comes up to you, and, like, then she's offering advice. So she seeks you out to give you advice. But I feel like whenever people seek her out with their problems, and she's kind of like... I'm really busy with my papers, but of course I'll take a break and...
All right, Sarah, come on, whatever.
That's Sarah.
Mm.
When is she going to get it together?
I know, when is she just going to... Oh, first of all, to answer your question, Sorting Papers.
Sorting Papers, of course.
My Bedelia of choice.
Or what if she's, like, doing something kind of, like, craftsy?
Mm.
That's kind of a good one, too.
See, as an accountant during the day, mm-hmm. I prefer the paper sorting, myself.
Because I always wonder, like, what is it that she's going through? I assume she handles the family's finances.
I know, because they're so rich, am I right? It's so unrealistic.
Also, because, like, shut up. Because, like, they are quite rich.
Mm-hmm.
But Americans have
TV
all been
brainwashed.
Well, Americans have all been brainwashed to think that we're upper middle class anyway.
Right.
So it works for us.
Right.
If I want to watch a bunch of non-upper middle class people doing stuff, then I would watch nothing. I can't think of anything.
Well, they're TV middle class.
Yeah, they're TV. I think they kind of address on the show the fact that they're like upper middle class, kind of.
Mm.
And like,
well,
Crosby's.
Zeke is
yeah, Zeke isn't that. I would imagine they're originally from like a middle working class background, Bonnie
yeah.
and Zeke.
Yeah.
Let's say Zeke's parents are working class, Bonnie's are maybe upper middle class,
yeah.
and it was kind of a thing.
Right. We know that that Julia is on the partner track
mm-hmm.
now. That was never...
They're doing fine.
Never been addressed in terms of, like, how much money she makes as an attorney. But the fact that she...
Lot.
We learned this season that she was on the partner track until she got distracted by her adopted kids.
Which, I'm sorry, isn't that what Joel is at home to handle?
I know, and here's a quibble I have with
just
that.
Just kidding, that was kidding.
Oh. It's true, though. here's one quibble I have with the season so far, and specifically that plot line. And I was really excited about the prospect of, like, a Julia's fucking up at work
mm-hmm.
plot line. And, like, I was ready to go where they took me
mm-hmm.
In that plot line. And then I feel like the writing staff pulled the rug from under my feet. And
'cause she quit?
She did the whole, like, I quit. Which, like, you never
do that
in the middle
especially
of the
Especially Julia.
I know.
Especially a lawyer.
And like, I know that it's like
on.
A TV, right. I know that it's
give
like
give me a break.
Right. I know that I just said right. I know that I just said that, like, it's TV upper middle class, it's TV's high stakes.
Mm-hmm.
But, like,
that's
like a TV trope that I just hate.
Yeah.
It's like when people just, like, you
no,
know
it's
what?
Not TV high stakes. It's TV low stakes. Real
right.
life
Sorry.
Is,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. TV low stakes. Yeah. That's a trope that just, like, drives me crazy and...
You know what? You're right. I quit.
Right. And, like, you just burned so... Like, you know those partners are going to tell the other partners that they do lunch with at other firms,
mm-hmm.
like... This bitch is a quitter. I don't know if they'll
also,
use that
Also, I feel
language,
like
but...
Julia... They probably will, because it's a total boys' club.
Sure.
I also feel like this is an opportunity for the show to... And Julia. And I feel
right.
like she, as a character, would be like, hey, F you guys, you sexist bunch of assholes
right.
who are, like, running this firm
right.
and punishing
partner.
Me according to patriarchal values that
right.
say that I'm not allowed to have anything going on outside of the firm.
Right.
Like, that's not
like,
how I run my life, and that's not how I should have to run my life in order to have a place at this firm. And yeah, I effed up one time, and I've been
right.
here for this many years, and this is bullshit.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and
exactly.
Because, like, hello,
like,
work-life balance.
Yeah. Maybe that's, like, maybe that's, you just articulated... what I felt like was kind of a wasted opportunity. But that could have been a really interesting plot line in... Frankly, Julia and Joel don't always have the most interesting plot lines
mm-hmm.
In general.
Even the whole I'm going to buy the baby from the girl I work with was not very interesting.
Yeah, that was kind of problematic from the start. but I feel like this season they've been more interesting
mm-hmm.
than usual. And like for me personally, like I really, 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 really... really like them. Like, I feel like of all the characters on the show, like,
mm-hmm.
I see myself the most in, like, a combination of Joel and Julia.
Right, because
personally.
We're, like, super together, really well off.
We're just, like, really
just,
great
like, really
and, like,
pretty.
Really, really attractive.
Yeah,
and,
just,
like,
just
have,
and, like, we don't...
Home.
It doesn't have to be, like, normal gender roles. Like, I can work
like,
and you
can be a little
kids.
Bit... You can be a little Joel, and I can be a little Julia.
No, I meant, like, how their marriage works.
Oh,
like,
right.
It's, like, total
yeah, okay.
gender bending.
Okay.
What?
I know.
It's crazier than RuPaul's
Crazy.
Drag Race. Just
totally.
Kidding.
Totally.
Yeah, can I say something about that?
Yeah.
I want to know more about Victor.
I was really
the whole we're going to adopt this infant baby from this woman and it's
mm-hmm.
totally problematic. That whole plot line was like, ooh.
Mm-hmm.
And like you knew from the beginning it wasn't going to work out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I was still glad when that
was
fulfilled.
It was a good resolution like that individual episodes like how they got to the point
mm-hmm.
where this didn't actually work out. I thought were some of the best of the series in general.
Really? Like the birth episode?
And, yeah, like, yeah. I just remember that being
Yeah,
really
no,
awesome.
That's true. But in general, it was like, oh, come on. That seemed like another, like, TV, like, I really wish I had a baby. I'm a young woman who has a baby, and I don't want it.
Right. Like, from a 10,000-foot level, that plot line as a whole didn't totally work, but, like, individual moments worked really well.
But I really liked the way it resolved, even though you could see it coming a mile away.
Yeah.
And I like that they ended up getting Victor, who is, like, an older kid.
Right.
Like, he's, you know, not, like, the perfect little white baby that they were looking to adopt. Not that they ever articulated that, but I feel like that's where a lot of adoption plot lines go.
Right.
Right? So they end up with, like, this different picture of, like, what their adopted kid is going to look like. And that, like, could also be really cool. But I feel like they, I mean, it's there in the scenes because they're it's like a struggle to make figure out kind of where his place is in the family, but I feel like I want to know more about Victor and where he came from and like how Julia and Joel are handling having a kid who's what is he like 8 instead of a baby,
right?
Because that's a big difference if you're expecting a baby and you get an 8-year-old kid who has a mom.
Right.
So, and I don't remember exactly, but they're like, his mom just went to prison? Wasn't it something like that?
Yeah, they haven't really gone into
I feel like the social worker said it quickly. But like,
at all, really.
If I remember correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, the phone lines are wide open.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I feel like his mom was in prison. He had been living with his mom, if I remember correctly. Just really briefly stated by the social worker. But at any rate, if you have an 8-year-old kid, like, he has a background, it's not a baby, and I think it's really weird that Julia and Joel are referring to themselves as mom and dad.
Well,
like,
here's where I think you could explain it, although I still feel like there's maybe room for filling in the backstory, is that the new season started probably, I think timeline-wise,
I think
like
it's been
six
like 6 months. Okay, but 6 months is not enough time for an 8. I don't know. I guess I've never been there, but I like.
So some of the backstory could have been lost in that 6-month shuffle.
Yeah.
Although I do hope that in a future episode or two they do address it, because Victor is a series regular. The actor who plays him is
great, by the way. All the kids on the show are great.
Yeah, they are.
They're fantastic.
I miss Hattie so much. Like, I wish she was
God,
back.
We all miss Hattie.
I know.
We all miss Hattie.
I know. But you know, she's doing great.
We want her to just concentrate on school.
We can.
We do not want you
to
just, But I just feel like with Victor's character, there's a lot of really, again, like, if you, that presents a lot of unique challenges to Julia and Joel's family. And they're kind of showing it, like, okay, so she's falling apart at work, but then they're like, oh, but I quit, so forget it. And they're like, oh, he didn't want to play baseball. Or like, oh, he wants to watch TV. But I feel like I feel like those are really, like, silly things. Maybe not the Herc falling apart at work, but I feel like for someone like Julia who really wants control.
Right.
Like, adopting, also, like, have they really adopted him yet? Are they still fostering? Like, I didn't understand how that was working. But anyway, I feel like suddenly having, like, an 8-year-old kid fall into your lap who's had, like, a totally different, like, you know, maybe he's from, like, a different socioeconomic background, a different, like, cultural, ethnic, race background than you are. I feel like there's a lot of stuff there that could be explored in, like, how do we, like, make this kid feel like he's part of our family without erasing his past?
Yes.
Or erasing him? Does that make sense?
Right.
Like,
right.
I feel like, I feel like they're not talking about it, and I hope they get into it. And that might be more hard-hitting journalism like we're looking for.
Right. Exactly.
And also, I want to say my least favorite part of the season so far has been the baseball game episode.
Really?
Or not that whole episode, but that part of the baseball game where Victor is not getting put into play, and Zeke is like, come on, put him into play, ah, blah, blah. Because Victor was like, I don't want the whole family to be there, I'm nervous. Why does everyone have to come? The whole family goes.
Did you like it?
And instead of, like, having Victor, like, do what I feel like a kid would do, which is, like, be like, I told you not to come here, I'm nervous, this is too much for you to handle, you're not my family. I feel like one time he told Joel, you're not my dad. One time or something like that. But, like, instead it's like, oh, this is inspiring. Oh, look, I hit it. Or didn't he hit it?
He got a hit that was...
Because of a bunch of errors.
A bunch of errors, which was funny, because, like,
that's
how
Little League
actually goes.
No, I mean, it was fine, but I also feel like this is silly, but like, you can't put your kid on a lower stakes baseball team. You can't find like a rec league.
Pick the C team. That's the team I like, was on.
Like, go to the Y. I don't know. Right. Like, really, like, that's where he has to be.
I know. But again, I think that's like, we're quibbling with like, that would break too many rules of TV, which is.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's TV shorthand for like, big redeeming moment that brings everyone together, which. Another quibble, mm-hmm. which I'm not here to quibble all night because...
Sounds like you are.
Right. As a whole, this has been...
Well, Zeke, it sounds like you... I can't do it either.
Yeah. As a whole, this has been my favorite season yet. I don't know.
I'm very old.
Right.
I'm not that old, but I've lived a hard life. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, Bonnie.
I was tweeting about this earlier, and I talked a little bit with our... friend Chris Becker, who she teaches a TV course, I believe, at Notre Dame.
Ooh. I call it Notre Dame.
And we were talking and tweeting back and forth a little bit about Parenthood, and what I said was that I feel like the show does better when it's focusing on kind of like individual episodes and small like 2 or 3 episode arcs than it does in like whole season arcs.
Okay.
And I feel like the baseball episode is kind of indicative of what happens when full season arcs are realized or that they come together. I know that this is only the 5th episode, but it felt in a lot of ways the way that other kind of tying everything together episodes do.
Okay, I see what you're saying. So full season in the sense that like now Victor feels like he's part of a family.
Right.
Now Julia has quit her job.
Right.
Now and we all know that, what's-her-name has breast cancer. I want to call her Kristen. It's not Kristen. Christina.
Christina. Yeah, like, I feel like those episodes are not as strong, or they feel more forced than, like, the episode about race that was, like, I thought that was a really good episode by itself, and it still tied in with what was going on throughout the season. They were still dealing with like breast cancer and everything like that, but it was like, I feel like sometimes they have a tendency to try to tie everything together in a grand way.
I like that we keep calling it the episode about race. Isn't that kind of how it was like? Like, in this episode, we'll deal with race.
Right.
Never to return. Turn.
So
I look forward to the episode where they deal with poverty.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen.
It kind of the soup kitchen. Remember?
Oh yeah.
What's his name?
And Luke.
Our other friend from Friday Night Lights. He was he helped us understand both poverty and
Alex.
racial tension.
Right.
And like criminal stuff, kind of.
Kind of.
All in one.
Yeah.
Attractive.
It's really not the show to address
anything.
Things. And that's fine.
That's fine.
Not asking it.
Well, there's a time and a place and to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Turn. Yeah. There is this. Oh, yeah. Zeke, remember when we used to listen to bands?
Here's one thing.
Well, I don't know. Bonnie, what's her name? Camille. Of course, Camille. Buttercup. I'm sorry. I don't. I'm way off my game.
One last sidetrack is, Alan Sepinwall brought up a good point in their recent episode where, Dax Shepard. What's his name? Damn it.
Crosby.
Of course.
The fact checker says?
The fact checker.
Crosby. So what about Crosby?
So, remember when Crosby went to Adam and was like, hey, I want you to raise my salary.
Yeah, and Adam was like, geek.
No, I'm not going to raise your salary.
Because that's what we agreed to. We agreed to this.
Yeah, I guess I'll raise your salary later. Why? Like, that could have been the perfect opportunity for Crosby to be like, oh, remember when you decided not to sell to Dwayne Wayne because this was really important to you to be part of this studio?
Yeah.
It's like a loose end that they never...
Well, there's the wedding, didn't they, kind of?
Right, but that could have been like
a...
That could have been like a good callback to what was actually a really stupid decision, but was presented as like a triumphant...
Family.
Right, which is the same thing as like Julia... quitting in the middle of a meeting, like straight up quitting, which is actually a really dumb decision, but like was presented as like a
you don't need that.
Because
yeah,
just go ahead and quit.
She's burning all her bridges. Who's gonna hire her?
Right.
And then like
she's a quitter, is what she is.
And then and that's not what brave women do.
You know? Yeah. Zeke should give her a speech, except that somehow her his speech would be
God
would somehow,
damn it,
like,
Julia.
Justify. I
you're
feel
not
like
a quitter, but they shouldn't. Maybe Zeke should march into that office.
Yeah.
I want to have a new thing where every time like there's a moment like that, Zeke marches in.
Yeah.
And gives him.
Now
his
you just
say,
wait 1 second.
I'm a veteran.
Everyone.
I'm a U.S. former U.S.
I have a new theory. I think Parenthood is actually Braverman family propaganda.
Really?
And, like, the Bravermans are a real family that's going to somehow take
run
power,
for office or
run
something?
For office, and, like,
and this is just letting us fall in love with them?
Right. And, like, it's like, subtly justifying the bad decisions that they make throughout their life so that when those things pop up, like, in the 2020 campaign when, like, Amber Braverman is running for like state senator in Minnesota for some reason,
and they're like oh,
when
she was
like,
into drunk driving something.
Right, when that happens, we'll be thinking like, oh yeah, and she totally got redeamed by her great grandfather Zeke, who's like
awesome, not
really
great grandfather,
yeah, an awesome grandfather.
Yeah,
yeah,
theory. Yeah, good theory.
Yeah.
Bravermans.
Braverman family propaganda.
A vote for the Bravermans is like a vote for your family. And, oh my gosh, they're totally doing it because they're presenting the lifestyle that we all think that we live, but none of but we don't actually live that because we're not all upper middle class Californians.
But we think we are.
And we don't actually all have families that are like, you're just a beautiful butterfly, and even though we get into fights sometimes, family always conquers all. But that's what we want, and that's what we're like, oh yeah, it's like my family.
Right.
Except for you guys are great.
Yeah.
My
our internet family.
No, I meant my family, if they're listening. Not that they would listen, because they never support anything I do.
No.
They're always supporting Dominic.
It'd be really nice to have a dad like Zeke.
Oh my gosh.
You know, but we just don't.
Actually, I think Zeke would be kind of a difficult father to have.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, he made me feel really nervous in that baseball game.
Yeah.
Like, really,
I was like
oh.
Embarrassing all of us.
But again, that scene was presented as like a, yeah, go Zeke.
When actually
kind of
it's like, no.
When it's actually like, you are embarrassing me.
And you're kind of being a dick.
Yeah.
And you're kind of teaching all the kids here the wrong lesson.
Right. Like
which
it
is like,
be
just bully your way
right.
through life.
Another alternate Parenthood timeline I think that would be interesting would be, or point of view would be like, the people who interact with the Bravermans.
Uh-huh.
Similarly to your theory of like, what would be a really interesting show, or like the 90210 characters who are not the friends of the Walshes and like
right,
the
so they're just a group of other kids who went to that Beverly Hills
who like
High
are watching
between
the
years of 1991 and 94 or whatever,
who are watching the videos that they made like recapping their high school memories and seeing that they're not in them at
it's
all
like wow
because they're not popular,
these assholes, these same like six assholes are in everything and we don't get anything.
Right.
I guess the school totally revolves around Kelly Taylor and
apparently
her friends
apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like to see what it's like to be one of the non-Bravermans interacting with the Bravermans, because it's probably horrible.
Yes.
Yeah. And actually, like, I think Crosby and Sarah are, like, the most, like, decent people.
Right.
Or, like, I would like most to be friends with Crosby and Sarah.
Right.
And I would like least to be friends with, I'm going to say Adam and Christina. I feel like they would be the kind of friends that, like, you think everything's totally fine, and then, like, you, like, ask if you can push dinner plans back 15 minutes, and they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, I guess that works, but it actually totally throws them off, because Max, and, like, you never know. Do you know what I mean?
Right, right.
I feel like they'd be really horrible to be friends with. So,
yeah. Christina and Adam are the worst in general.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I hate Adam. Like, I really do hate Adam. Like, he really, like, I don't feel like there's any redeeming quality to Adam. I know that he does have redeeming quality, but, like, as a family member who's biased of, like, as an honorary
brother.
Braverman brother, like,
as are we
I
all?
Just can't stand you, Adam.
I know. He just thinks he's so freaking perfect.
He does. And he's just I don't even feel sorry for him. Honestly,
my
like,
wife has cancer.
Honestly, like, I don't even feel sorry for him at all.
I don't feel sorry for him at all either, which is pretty nasty.
It's really nasty.
And I feel bad for Christina. I totally hate Christina.
I like Christina. I think she's...
I like her more the more we get to know her.
Yeah.
But she's still pretty, like, I still would not... I feel like she would be a really high-maintenance friend, mm-hmm. especially because of her husband, Adam.
Yeah.
And so I feel like they would be, like, lower on our list of, like, yeah. couples that we'd want to, right. like, have our kids have playdates with.
Exactly. Although,
and I feel like it's
Hattie
a kind of
is Hattie is a delight though.
Hattie is a delight, but I feel okay. So imagine like 3-year-old Hattie, and we have a 3-year-old kid,
right?
And like they're on a play date, and our kid like hits Hattie or right. like takes her toy.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be like the end of the world. I feel like,
yeah, like
I feel
Adam
like Adam
Christina.
Would. I feel like Christina would be like, well, that's really horrible.
That's not fair.
But she would just want to be like, Adam, let's just keep it the joke. And then Adam's like, I'm going to say something. Do you know what I mean? And it would just be like, get over it.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
They would be horrible,
horrible parents
to organize play dates with.
Also, I think they would be horrible parents if you were a teacher.
Oh,
Chris,
yeah.
Chris, can you speak to that?
Chris, if you
Do you want
had...
the Bravermans as one of your kids? Do you want Max to be one of your students and the Bravermans to be... the parents.
The caveat that, like, of the parents who are probably really involved, mm-hmm. like, I'm sure there are other parents that, like,
that are just
real life teachers would like to interact with but can't because they're not involved. But those aren't the parents that we are interested about in parenthood
because
socioeconomic, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But yeah, I bet they're totally
interested
animals.
In voting parents.
I bet that they're the parents who, like, go to conferences and say, like, my daughter is going to be in this class next year and,
right.
like, totally take... Like,
oh
what
gosh.
Should be a teacher's role?
I feel like Christina
hands.
Wouldn't do it as much, even though she'd think it kind of passive-aggressive.
She would, yeah.
But Adam would actually say it, and that would be awful.
Yeah.
And
he would be like, I'm not going to apologize for that, because, like, guess what? I'm awesome, so fuck you.
Right.
Is what he'd be thinking, but he would say it, like, in a friendly way. Like,
right.
Or a much more friendly.
Adam is one of those people who, like... He's the only one in the world who's ever had to work and support a family. He's the only one in the world who's ever had a kid. He's the only one in the world who's ever had a kid with autism. He's the only one in the world who's ever had a wife with breast cancer. Like, everything's just always about
I wanted him. To, like, reach into the TV and smack him when Amber was really concerned about something. And he's like, oh, just lay off me, Amber, because my wife has breast cancer, which I'm going to play the breast cancer card right now.
I know.
Like, even though he did it in a really passive-aggressive way that just made it even
worse.
Like,
you're right, it's just, Christina's really sick, so I guess that's
yeah.
why the national...
Which is even worse than just, like, saying, like, exactly what's happening, just to leave it really vague and
like,
be like...
Christina's really sick, but we can't tell anyone, but it gives me license to continue to act the way I've been acting since
exactly.
you've known me.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Exactly.
It's
always something
like
that.
He's been acting pretty horrible in regards to Christina having breast cancer, which is, like, that's a big deal thing.
Yeah, we don't want
that's
to diminish
a real
that.
High stakes thing. I don't want to diminish that.
Right.
I do feel badly for the family, as if they're real people. Right? I mean, like
yeah.
that. Like that's a real serious thing.
And like,
but the way Adam handles it is like,
yeah.
I'm in control. No, because no, you don't want that. She's gonna do it now. No,
right.
Christina. No,
yeah,
we're
like,
doing this. We're doing this. It's like her body, dickwad,
exactly.
and he frames it in like she never takes care of herself.
I know.
I'm doing this for her, and then she like ultimately is like, you're right. You're right. And it's like, can you just let her, like, deal with the fact that she's been diagnosed with cancer?
No kidding.
And, like, it's happening to her and not to you?
Exactly.
Can you, like, deal with that? Oh, my God, I don't like Adam at all.
Yeah.
But I'd still vote for him if he ran for office because he's a Braverman. And
yeah.
we...
By golly.
And by golly, we're loyal to family.
We vote for Bravermans. Because
you can pick your friends. You
can't pick your man.
But not their noses, I think is how the saying goes.
Oh.
Right?
Don't know.
What?
I don't know.
So,
who haven't we talked about? Sarah.
I don't know. Sarah.
And the most
I feel like
Sarah
from the beginning
here.
They have not wanted things to work out with that
old
guy.
Pirate man.
Pirate
Mark.
Man.
Is his character's
Mark,
name.
Yeah.
Jason Ritter.
Thank you.
Pirate
I feel
face.
Like from the beginning this was a doomed relationship and yet somehow like almost like against the will of the writers of the show, he's like persisted.
He's really charming in kind of an inoffensive way.
Uh-huh.
In a way that like at first when you meet him, you feel like
ooh.
I'm talking about Mark,
uh-huh.
and you're like kind of like okay, you're kind of all right, I guess. And, like, he's just, like...
You creeped me out a little.
Stayed around, like, enough so that it's, like, oh, Mark, hey, how are you? And I feel like Sarah probably feels the same way about him in general.
Right.
In as much as she's kind of, like, passive-aggressively pushed off his, like, let's get married proposals in a lot of ways, which is actually, even though I just said that I feel like Sarah's been the most boring this year, I do, like,
I don't think
that they've really explored her very much outside of, like, her interacting with Ray Romano, which is
I feel like
charming.
All of her plot lines are romantic ones.
Yeah.
Which, like, also kind of makes me angry, because, like, I feel like...
Although it's, I mean,
I feel
to
like
be fair,
Adam and Crosby get a lot of, like, job-related, like, outside... Like, obviously it's a family show, so stuff that happens in the family is important. But I do feel, and now I don't have any data to back this up right now...
Uh-huh.
Again, the phones are wide open. I'm sorry. Not actually a call-in show. Are there actual podcasts that are call-in shows?
It's a pre-recorded call-in show.
This is a pre-recorded call-in show. We don't understand how phones work.
So you call in
back
next
in time.
Week.
What?
Next week. So we'll tell you the topic... Next.
No, that's not what happens.
Show sketch.
You can tweet at us. Oh, yeah, I remember that. That was a funny sketch.
Yeah.
It's a funny
show.
We'll
link to that.
It's a funny show.
That.
What was I saying? Wait,
you're talking
on.
About Sarah's relationship.
Oh, I feel like Adam and Crosby and Zeke get a lot of outside of the family plot lines.
Yeah.
Like business, work, whatever.
Right.
And I feel like Sarah and Julia and Bonnie Bedelia get a lot of more domestic plot lines.
Yes.
Even though Sarah and Julia are both working, I feel like they're, especially for Sarah, her work plot lines are they always feel like a catalyst for a romantic plot line.
Julia?
No, Sarah.
Oh, Sarah. Yeah, and I mean her work plot line, right, that's true.
And I feel like Julia is like, could have the most work plot lines, but like the only time we've seen, like, her work entered when she wanted to buy a baby.
Right, yeah.
Which is not really about her work.
Right.
Now it's like, oh, your work shows up because your home life is interfering with it, so the solution is to quit your job and focus on your home life.
I think...
How progressive are you, Parenthood? You tricked me.
Seen under the...
You tricked me. Now, whatever. We still love you. We don't care.
Here's... I would say that... I'm guessing that they play to Sarah's relationships a lot more than anything else because Lauren Graham is really good at playing that.
Yeah, that's
Whereas
true.
I don't feel like I would be as interested in a show where Lauren Graham is, like, fumbling over, like, office work.
They tried to let her be a playwright for a while.
Yeah.
What happened to that?
I want
to have an entire episode that's just a remember this shit that happened episode.
What happened to Alan?
I have an idea. Okay, are you ready?
And they could tackle Santiago from season 2 of Friday Night Lights at the same time.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
So what they could do is they could, like, they're all snowed in.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, it's a Thanksgiving episode because those are fillers anyway. Okay. No one cares about the Thanksgiving episode.
And an unusual Thanksgiving.
Let's say that they all go to the mountains.
Okay. Okay.
Right? They all go to the mountains for Thanksgiving.
Right.
And they're like, oh, we're not going to get that much snow this time of year. We rented a cabin. We're having an old fashioned rustic Thanksgiving.
Right.
You know, the kids.
Zeke
would
be
Max
really insistent about, like, it being an authentic.
Right.
Rustic experience,
right.
and like,
Bonnie would roll her eyes and be making dinner,
be fighting against it, and like Max would talk
fighting
about,
against it in a nurturing sort of
right, and Max would be like giving statistics about like what happens when you're in the woods,
right?
And Patty would
be like,
"Give me a break, Max. I mean, like, stop talking about how
Amber
we're
would
get killed.
Maybe Amber doesn't make it.
Amber doesn't make it. Yes,
Amber and Luke." What's his character's name?
I don't know.
So they're driving up later because she had to work,
and
they're like, invite him because he doesn't have a family or something. And they're like, well, okay, we'll drive up to... And they don't make it, and they have to spend a night at, like, a motel on the way.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Are you hearing this?
Oh, my gosh!
Are you hearing this? And it can be a two-hour-long special.
Yeah.
I would like that a lot.
That
and it would be all brought to you by Kraft. So all the commercials would be holiday craft commercials.
So
So anyway, they all get snowed in at this cabin, and that gives us an opportunity to sit around the fire and have each of the different characters and all the different relationships hash out and go talk back about things that they just glossed over.
Yes.
And finally resolve everything.
All of the loose ends.
And at the very end, Victor regales us with the story of what his last Thanksgiving was like, and we get a glimpse into where Victor came from and maybe how he's doing. as and, being a part of the Brave
and
Rebels.
Then we all learned a valuable lesson about the importance of family and how lucky, how grateful the Bravermans are, and then they are able to address the fact that they're rich and like they're grateful for their wealth, and then maybe what they do is like they set up a Braverman family foundation that helps like at-risk youth and then you tackle the whole like they're so rich like complaint,
and we are reminded that it's not true that family and love don't see color, and that's actually sometimes a more racist attitude in terms of the uptake.
Right, and maybe the cabin that they go to, like, the innkeeper is kind of racist and, like, won't.
Oh, but we can actually directly tackle that.
And, like, right, we can just, like, bring it on head on and be like, you know what? Just because we have a black president doesn't mean that racism is over.
Right.
Like...
And, like, maybe it is important to celebrate our differences instead of focusing on what makes us all the same.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Right? And then maybe, oh, this would be good. And maybe there's, like, a rhetoric professor who got snowed in next door, played by me.
Right.
Okay. And I could be like, oh, here are some books that I could recommend on neoliberal ideology. Okay, but seriously, I think we should end on that note because this is getting kind of long and rambly, and because that actually is the best thing that could ever happen to parenthood, and now we have nothing else to talk about. I just dropped the microphone.
We're going out on top.
Right.
You can listen to, or you can watch episodes of Parenthood on Netflix, which is one of
our
sponsors.
True?
It's true. You can watch the first three seasons. I believe the first three seasons are on streaming on Netflix. Go to bit.ly/blogflix. Check out our 2-week free membership trial. After that, it's only $8 a month. And signing
up. Support people.
Signing up that way. Exactly. Supports independent netcasting like our show and the other shows on the Fancy Bands Gangsters Netcast Network.
And we don't yet get money from the Braverman Foundation, so...
No, but we're working on it. But maybe
in the meantime, maybe you guys could... Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's all we've got.
That's all we got.
May God's blessings keep you always.
May your wishes all come true.
May you always do for others, and importantly...
Others do for
you. Let others do for you.
Exactly.
Right? May you grow up to be righteous. May you
fill your heart with sun.
Really?
May you stay forever
young.
Young.
God bless. In the non-Judeo-Christian sense of God as the connectedness of the universe.
Exactly. Because our opinions are valid.
And so are yours.
Mm-hmm.